Blog Talk Radio.
Something is going on. Some of us see it, some of us feel it. It's time to expand your thinking. You will need to reset everything you thought you knew about the world, about the people you trust, about history, about yourself. Let me tell you a story. For a very long time, our world has been under the growing influence of a vast transgenerational criminal mafia that was able to rise up to the highest levels of power. We didn't know because they talked and acted just like you and me. We thought we could recognize true criminals by their words and actions, but were deceived by their sophisticated speech, wealth, education, beauty, and power. Through a system of threats, blackmail, and bribery, they would come to occupy the highest levels of power in government, corporations, and education. You may know them as the Deep State, or Cabal. Most dangerously of all, they achieved almost total influence over the media, their primary means of controlling the good people of the world who were just trying to get on with living. They used this power to slowly convince us that we were the problem, that we were a threat to each other. They used race, gender, and religion to set us apart, and rewrote history to validate these false claims. They funded both sides of wars just to crush our potential to prosper and succeed as a peace-loving and creative force of good for the world. Now, with their firm grasp on the media, we drank in their entertainment and lies as they began their final phase, the total takedown of America. We were the brightest remaining beacon of freedom and humanity's last hope. They knew that if they could take America, the rest of the world would follow. They cut deals that led us to hand over total control of the money system to a private central bank, the Federal Reserve. This made it possible to influence Washington, D.C., and most of our presidents since then were beholden to the criminals in one way or another. Things took a really bad turn when they concentrated vast power into the hands of the many civilian intelligence agencies throughout the world. They said they were there to protect us. Instead, these agencies were catastrophically weaponized to boost drug and human trafficking cartels, assassinate political opponents, undermine the military, and change regimes of foreign governments who did not want to adopt the centralized system of money control. You might think they would choose simply to remain in the shadows running their criminal activities while we carried on with our lives. But as long as there was freedom for the people to prosper, the cabal were always at risk of being discovered and shut down. There was no way to continue without a plan to eliminate all threats to their survival, even if it meant imposing a single world government under their jurisdiction, where no national identity, police force, or military could stop them. They called it globalism.
A public service announcement from the mainstream media. The racist, misogynistic, myopic imperial president had the audacity to give a speech at South Dakota's socially divisive, unfashionable Mount Rushmore the day before what historically has been called America's Independence Day. It was a dark and divisive speech, said the New York Times. Here's a snippet.
These heroes will never be defaced. Their legacy will never, ever be destroyed. Their achievements will never be forgotten. And Mount Rushmore will stand forever as an eternal tribute to our forefathers, and to our freedom.
The speech also included old, outdated notions of unity under the flag of sovereignty of a nation-state.
We remember that governments exist to protect the safety and happiness of their own people. A nation must care for its own citizens first. We must take care of America first. It's time. We believe in equal opportunity, equal justice, and equal treatment for citizens of every race, background, religion, and creed. Every child of every color, born and unborn, is made in the holy image of God. We want free and open debate, not speech codes and cancel culture. We embrace tolerance, not prejudice. We support the courageous men and women of law enforcement. We will never abolish our police or our great Second Amendment, which gives us the right to keep and bear arms.
And the fireworks after the president spoke was nothing less than an attack on indigenous people, said NBC News. The Washington Post really hit the nail on the head, saying that the speech, which warned of the left-wing cultural revolution, was dark and exploited social divisions. You better take a seat. Listen to this.
We believe that our children should be taught to love their country, honor their history, and respect our great American flag.
And for those who don't know, the now culturally inappropriate monument, referred to as Mount Rushmore, is located in South Dakota, a state that has the nerve not to charge its citizens any income tax whatsoever, and is helmed by a governor, a white female, no less, who boldly claims her state is open for business.
I'm Governor Kristi Noem. Nearly 6 months ago, I outlined many reasons why South Dakota is a unique state. And I encourage people from across the country and around the globe to make this great state their home too. Our people, their work ethic and their values, our government, one that lives within its means and serves our people, and our way of life, one that respects and cherishes the principles of thrift, hard work, family, and self-governance, are second to none. And to those concerned about what the future might hold for you, if you stay where you are right now, come to South Dakota. The air is fresh, the people are free, and the possibilities are endless.
So reckless. Ostentatious and unnecessary flyovers of the Commander-in-Chief's opulent airborne transportation, wasting taxpayer money when such efforts could be more usefully redirected into defunding the police. And so we stand today, July 4th, 2020, on the precipice between unifying with our global family and utterly racist displays of adoration for sovereignty and outdated notions of liberty and clearly manufactured photo ops of forced unity, like this one in Chicago. Repulsive.
Facebook, Facebook.
Yeah. Cowboys for Trump.
Cowboys for Trump.
That's right.
Yes, it's true. We stand at the precipice, America. Make your choice. And happy 4th. Signed, The New York Times, MSNBC, The Washington Post, and NBC News. This public service announcement from the mainstream media has been brought to you in part by SGT Report. For real news and the antidote to corporate propaganda, visit sgtreport.com.
All right, from the pages of MikeHuckabee.com, a place to make sense of a news cycle that feels more like a washing machine spin cycle these days, let's take another look back at the week that was. And by the way, you can have my wit and wisdom delivered right to your email inbox. Just signing up for my totally free newsletter is delivered twice daily for two doses of sanity every single day. Well, we're finding out more and more about what the Black Lives Matter group is all about. How do we know? Well, the founders will tell you flat out. They're committed Marxists. But what's been murky till now is, where does their money come from? And where does it go? But we know now it's the pet project of a 501c3 or a nonprofit organization promoting alternative economies and climate justice. It's called Thousand Currents. Or as Tucker Carlson reported this week, the vice chair for fundraising of Thousand Currents is Susan Rosenberg, a convicted terrorist. She spent 16 years in federal prison, that is until she was pardoned by none other than Bill Clinton, on his last day in office. So there you have it, a Marxist terror group that wants to overthrow our country. Don't take my word for it. Those are the words of former New York Police Department Commissioner Bernard Kerik. He knows a thing or two about terrorism, having led the country's largest police department on 9/11. And let's have a quick check-in on Basement Joe. The DNC knows a dithering, doddering Joe Biden would be a train wreck on the debate stage. So Tom Friedman of the New York Times actually wrote an op-ed this week that many are interpreting as a trial balloon to see if Americans will actually buy the DNC's feeble excuses for Biden staying hidden in his basement right up until Election Day and for not going out and debating President Trump. Basement Joe is confused about all this, though. He thinks he already debated President Trump in 1949. So, yeah. Well, from the Twitterverse, where you can follow me at GovMikeHuckabee, comes these moments of madness. This past week, actor Terry Crews stood up for those who have lost family members in America through gun violence on our city's streets. He felt Black Lives Matter should have stood up against these needless shootings, along with continuing the protest against rogue police. Well, news agenda advocate Don Lemon on CNN invited Terry Crews on his CNN show to straighten him out. Here's what he said.
The Black Lives Matter movement was started because it was talking about police brutality. If you want an all Black Lives Matter movement that talks about gun violence in communities, including, you know, black communities, then start that movement with that name. But that's not what Black Lives Matter is about.
Well, Mr. Lemon, may you one day find the strength of character and compassion to join with Terry Crews and stand for every black life, no matter the threat or where it comes from. I hope you can do that. And we also want to give a shout out to some progressive intellectuals. Yep, you heard me right. Harry Potter creator J.K. Rowling, author Salman Rushdie, and noted libertarian socialist Noam Chomsky, and feminist Gloria Steinem are some of the 150 who signed a letter on justice and open debate that was printed in Harper's this week. They say they support a needed reckoning on racial justice, but believe it's fueled the sifting of open debate. The letter denounces public shaming and ostracism and a binding moral certainty. These brave liberal men and women go on to state, and I quote, "The free exchange of information and ideas, the lifeblood of a liberal society, is daily becoming more constricted," and that they uphold the value of robust and even caustic counter speech from all quarters. In the end, what they're calling for is something we used to call freedom of speech and an end to swift and severe retribution in response to perceived transgressions of speech and thought. They believe the cancel culture is causing creative people to avert from taking risk in their work for fear of losing their livelihood. Well, I never thought I'd say this in my lifetime, but I'm right there with you, Noam and Gloria, because if we don't stand together for the First Amendment and your right to say what I don't agree with and vice versa, the beginning of the end of the great American experiment is here. And finally, as we continue to respect the calls of American protesters for fairness and justice in the prosecution of George Floyd's murder, there are others who have tried to appropriate this moment for anarchy and destruction of our government. That's why it's very valuable for us to revisit the words of a great civil rights activist and the first African-American congresswoman from the South, Barbara Jordan. She said, and I quote, "My faith in the Constitution is whole. It's complete. It's total. I'm not going to sit here and be an idle spectator to the diminution, the subversion, the destruction of the Constitution. We should embrace the courage and commitment of this political pioneer to protect and uphold our Constitution and the democracy that it has blessed us with and inspired through the world." Now, until next time, these have been the facts of the matter. Thanks so much for watching, and I hope you enjoyed that video. If you...
All right, Democrats have reached, I think, the obvious conclusion that their only path, sure path to victory, is the burn-it-all-down approach of the neo-Bolsheviks on the streets. Joe Biden's team has formed common cause with those who not only seek the destruction of the nuclear family. If you don't believe me, check out BLM's website. They've actually decided that promoting racial hatred is the only way they can win. They know that Trump's policies, it's obvious, have delivered results for working people of all races, while theirs have largely failed. Now, the left hopes that by inflaming racial division and hiding their candidate, they could avoid a real debate on the issues. So over the weekend, the president responded with two powerful speeches to celebrate our independence and identify the domestic forces now threatening it. His remarks at Mount Rushmore reaffirmed America's identity and inspired millions of Americans who've basically been living in despair because of the 1-2 punch of the virus and the continuing riots.
These radicals would tear down the very heritage for which men gave their lives to win the Civil War. They would tear down the principles that propelled the abolition of slavery, and ultimately around the world, ending an evil institution that had plagued humanity for thousands and thousands of years. Our opponents would tear apart the very documents that Martin Luther King used to express his dream. They would tear down the beliefs, culture, and identity that have made America the most vibrant and tolerant society in the history of the earth. We will proclaim the ideals of the Declaration of Independence, and we will never surrender the spirit and the courage and the cause of July 4th, 1776. Upon this ground, we will stand firm and unwavering in the face of lies meant to divide us, demoralize us, and diminish us.
Now, you can always tell how effective one of the president's speeches is by how frenzied the reaction from liberals.
I actually thought it was some fantasy. He's just desperate.
There was a lot about history, about God and our great country, much of it very ominous.
There was no attempt here to unify the country. It was just a divisive message.
The president threw down the cultural war gauntlet in defense of dead white men.
Inflammatory, hateful, watching it, you realize how disturbed and how disturbing this president really is.
You notice I describe liberals, and Kasich and Jennifer Rubin are among them. You bet. Now, if lying was an Olympic sport, these folks would be draped in gold medals. In moments of rare candor, they know that Trump beats Biden hands down on jobs and wages for African Americans. Trump beats Biden on education. He favors liberation for parents and students who are stuck in bad schools. Trump beat Biden on prison reform. Obama and Biden both talked a good game. They didn't get it done. And of course, Trump has done something that Biden never did. He has actually hired and promoted African Americans and other minorities across as many businesses. Now, where Biden and Democrats are content to patronize African Americans with these meaningless symbolic gestures, conservatives actually believe that minorities want what all people want, a fair chance at prosperity and to pursue their happiness in freedom and safety. Trump knows this is only possible with a vibrant, growing economy where all criminals are prosecuted. Meanwhile, Biden thinks he can surf to victory on racial anger stoked by mobs, many of whom are white, who would rather see every city in America burn than a second Trump term. Now, this requires a massive effort to lie and defame, one that an honest press would have exposed long ago. Now, as I've said before, instead of covering the Democrats, the media cover for them. Their tactics and their toxic associations I'm talking about. So long as the end game of any activist or politician is to rid America of Trump, oh, the press will excuse all manner of falsehoods, hypocrisy, and even criminality. So to stoke racial tension, the Biden campaign requires a massive effort to lie and defame, one that, of course, would have already been exposed long ago. Now, when you think back, when you think about how this whole thing went down, how did it go down? It went down after this long shutdown. People had a lot of time on their hands. Again, if we continue to allow these lies and this ongoing slander and defamation to continue, well, what happens? People will continue to lose faith in the system of laws and even in equal protection.
You know, people, looters got a bad name during the, you know, George Floyd protests. But thank goodness for the looters, man. You have a place called Target. You have a store called Target. You're going to be a target. You know, these places have absolutely contributed to the oppression.
Now, the left is even trying to get the Broadway sensation Hamilton canceled. If you think that's wacky, it is. That's right. There is a cancel Hamilton hashtag out there. Now, never mind that all the key roles, including those of Alexander Hamilton and George Washington, are played by people of color in the musical. Critics say it glosses over key facts. They claim Hamilton was not an abolitionist and traded slaves for his in-laws. The mere fact that it celebrates the founding era in any positive way, to good music, is ample reason for the left to call for its cancellation. Now, the only thing at this point that's sacred to them is the notion that if you're a leftist, you cannot be questioned or prosecuted for crimes. Yeah, the ends justify the means? You bet they do. Past grievances mean never having to say you're sorry. The media will give you a pass for anything. At the same time, they spy racism around every corner.
Smollett says he was assaulted by two masked men who yelled out racial and homophobic slurs. Police are investigating the incident as a possible hate crime.
A horrifying racist incident.
Heinous, heinous.
It's ugly.
A crude and cowardly way.
Hate crime.
NASCAR is investigating a horrible incident.
A noose was found in the garage stall of Bubba Wallace.
Much as NASCAR may try to distance itself from that, it's a living, breathing part of their sport.
Oh, and then when Trump calls him on it, albeit via an inartfully worded tweet, he becomes the target.
Do you believe the president sees racism as a potential path to reelection?
Look, there's no doubt that, and I've said this before, this president, his political calculus is all about division, not addition.
And why does the left do all this? Well, simple. To deflect from the Democrats' own horrific record on race, the economy, and crime.
This is now a third week in a row where we have seen children shot and killed here. It's part of a weekend where we saw more than 60 people shot and over a dozen people killed. So just point blank, what is happening right now?
The ecosystem of public safety that isn't just law enforcement, but is local, community-based, they too have really been hit hard by COVID and are now just kind of coming back online and getting their footing.
What? You guys hear that? Chicago's seen a tragic level of violence since the Black Lives Matter marches started. And it's claiming African-American lives and costing the black community dearly. The bad guys here aren't the folks going to Mount Rushmore. They're criminals murdering children on the streets of our nation's third largest city. 80 people were shot and 17 killed in Chicago last weekend alone, and at least 13 of those were African-American. And it gets even more tragic, including among the dead is a 7-year-old, Natalia Wallace. She was shot in the head. She was visiting her grandmother for the 4th of July. And sadly, she wasn't the only child killed. In Southeast D.C., 11-year-old Devon McNeil shot and killed at a 4th of July cookout with his family. Armed thugs in Atlanta murdered 8-year-old Sequoria Turner near the Wendy's where Rayshard Brooks died at the hands of police. Now, this is senseless and awful killing, and it's obviously left her parents heartbroken, shattered, and asking why.
They say Black Lives Matter. You killed your own. Killed your own this time. Just because of a barrier. They killed my baby because she crossed the barrier and made a U-turn. You killed a child. She didn't do nothing to nobody.
Now, every single one of these cities is run by Democrats. And rather than addressing violent crime, drugs, and fatherlessness plaguing so many communities, they just make excuses. They throw out phrases like systemic racism, unconscious bias, or white privilege, and minimizing the importance of personal responsibility, love of one's neighbor, and the value of every human life. So rather than insisting on law and order, safety in every community, including African American communities, this is the best they can offer.
We talk about
systemic racism and the trauma and the anxiety, and you think about the leadership or the lack thereof that we have coming from the highest office in the land, I think that you are seeing so many emotions play out, and so too often it's playing out in violence in our streets.
Emotions are playing out? I think some folks are still trying to pretend that all of this mayhem will stop if we just let the Democrats have the White House. Well, we have the Democrats in power in Atlanta, in Chicago, in New York, in Baltimore, and beyond and beyond. What's happened? So this thinking is foolish and naive. The Democrats have shown they're utterly unwilling to restrain the hard left from seizing property and committing violence.
Thought experiment for you. Oklahoma City is one of the most conservative metro areas in the United States. Donald Trump won almost 60% of the vote there 4 years ago. Imagine if the conservatives, who presumably run local government in Oklahoma City, sent an email to every African-American municipal employee telling them to report to a special meeting. Imagine that when those employees arrived, again, black employees only, nobody else allowed, they were informed that the fact they were black was deeply offensive. In fact, it was a kind of crime. And the only way to atone for the sin of their blackness was to apologize for it. Apologize for being born black, and then work to shed all traces of your black identity. Stop spending so much time around your black friends. Stop repeating things your black parents told you growing up. Start admitting out loud that you hate yourself for having black skin. Imagine if that actually happened in this country. What would you think of it? We'd be horrified, obviously. It's completely disgusting. It is immoral to attack people for how they were born. It's always immoral. And by the way, it's also illegal. The Justice Department would never tolerate something like that. Civil Rights Division would shut down the program tonight and would bring criminal charges against the people who ran it. And you would applaud them as they did that, and we would too. So with that in mind, consider what is happening right now in one of America's most liberal cities, Seattle. 4 years ago, Hillary Clinton got 87% of the vote in Seattle. There aren't many places more loyal to the Democratic Party. Recently, the city of Seattle summoned its white employees, and only its white employees, to a meeting and then informed them that their skin color is a crime. The city called this anti-racism training. Events like it are taking place all over the country right now, in schools, local governments, corporations, the military. The city of Seattle named its training session Interrupting Internalized Racial Superiority and Whiteness. Chris Rufo of City Journal wanted to know exactly what went on in a meeting like that, so he filed a public records request. Here's what he found. White employees in Seattle were informed that their so-called white qualities were offensive and unacceptable. Those qualities included perfectionism, objectivity, and individualism. The employees were told to stop exhibiting these characteristics, and instead they were ordered to undertake, quote, the work of undoing your own whiteness. In order to achieve that, in order to erase the traits they were born with, white employees in Seattle were ordered to give up the following. They were ordered to give up comfort. They were ordered to give up spending time with their family. They were ordered to give up guaranteed physical safety, control over other people and the land, relationships with some other white people, niceties from neighbors and colleagues, and, quote, the certainty of your jobs. Prepare to be unemployed, pale employees of Seattle. Your skin color disgusts us. All of that actually happened in Seattle. Check out Chris Rufo's new piece in City Journal if you want more details on it. But again, atrocities like this aren't just happening in Seattle. They're happening everywhere. Some will almost certainly happen in your kid's school this fall. No one will ask your permission before they do it. They'll just attack your children for how they were born. The people doing the attacking, by the way, would tell you with a straight face how opposed they are to gay conversion therapy because, of course, it's immoral to try to change people's
So with that, I'm going to ask Ben Carson, and you can stay if you want it, because you need the prayer more than I do, I think. You may be the only ones. Maybe a good solid prayer and they'll be honest, Ben. Is that possible? So Ben, we'll ask you to say grace. Okay. Thank you.
Our kind Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the opportunities and the freedom that you've granted us in this country. We thank you for the president and for cabinet members who are courageous, who are willing to face the winds of controversy in order to provide a better future for those